where you are going to be today. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount right now. While you are turning there, I'm going to ask somebody to pray for our time in God's Word. Would someone pray for us? Gracias, Señor. Well, un poco.
Dear Father, we thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for our purpose of being here, is to listen to you, listen to your words, to grow and be fruitful in your word. Help us, Lord, to hear your words as you intended them to be heard and understood. Be with Mike as he opens these words to us. May his spirit and attitude fall in line with yours. And we thank you, Lord, for the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus teaching us how we should think, how we should pray, and how we should be as citizens of the kingdom of God. Help us to take these things to heart. And we ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Here in America, today is Super Bowl Sunday. So it's a big football game. It's the biggest football game in the year in America. I don't know if you watch much sports. This is actually true not just of football. You see this in basketball, baseball, soccer, hockey, whatever sport you want to watch. But today, if you do watch the football game, what you're going to see is you're going to see players play. And when a player makes a good play, he's going to start pounding his chest, or he's going to point forward like a first down, or he's going to do this and just soak in all the praise from everybody, or he's going to wag his finger if he plays defense and made a tackle and said, oh, not on my watch. And he's going to do this. Now, they do this. Basketball players do the same kind of thing. They have their own, you know, way of doing it. Just in sports, you're going to see this. It's something in America, it's probably not just American, but I see it in America, that I will call look at me disease. That's what that is. Look at me disease. And it starts young. You see three-year-olds jumping off the couch to show off to the other three-year-olds. Look at me. Look what I can do. You know, right? You've seen it. Look at me disease is in churches, too. Churches have a more sophisticated version of look at me disease. We don't jump off couches or wag our fingers. Sometimes it's the guy who is always talking to you about how he led this person to Christ and that person to Christ, and how he started this ministry or that ministry, or and it's always what he did, not what God did. Now, not everyone does this, and I'm not trying to make you feel guilty about sharing things God's doing in your life. Share things God's doing in your life. But I'm saying that is a real phenomenon. It does exist. Sometimes people have the look at me disease for spiritual things just as much as the athletes have look at me disease when they do something on the field. And so, now the thing of look at me disease is this. Look at me disease only strikes when you do something good, right? Mm-hmm. When you watch the game today, if you do, or any game you watch, if a quarterback throws the ball to the other team, the quarterback who made the bad play is never pumping his fists or beating his chest or taken in the praise. But the guy on the other team who caught the ball, he is. That's how it works. Look at me disease only happens when you do something good. Not when you do something you are ashamed of. Because people don't like like it to be looked at when they've done something bad. No one ever shows off the F they got on the test. Look at this. Mom, look what I got on the test. No. It's when they get the A on the test that they want to show it to mom. Right? And so Jesus addresses look at me disease. And he addresses it in the Sermon on the Mount. So let's read the text we're going to look at today. This is Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you." Okay, Jesus is fighting look at me disease there. And he's fighting it in a spiritual context. He's not talking about athletes on a field or students in a class. He's talking about people who are giving to the poor. Now, I want to set this in context. And so to set this in context, because this isn't really, Jesus isn't changing his topic here. And so what I want to do is show you what's going on. We're going to go back to Matthew 5, verse 17. If you look back there in chapter 5, verse 17, what you will see is Jesus is going to say, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For I tell you the truth, not the least jot or the least dot will pass away from the law until all is accomplished. And he who, how does it go?
Annuls
the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of God. But he who fulfills, or what's the word it says?
Keeps,
thank you. He who keeps these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to this talk about the law. You know, do not think I've come to abolish it. I've come to fulfill it. Murder. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You keep your oaths. The law says write a certificate of divorce. The law says eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I say to you, the law says love your neighbor. Well, the saying says love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's talking about, one, the law. But he's also talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, because they were experts in the law. They knew the law. And they prided themselves on keeping the law. And so all of that law talk in chapter 5, he's really comparing what the scribes and Pharisees do with what he says you should do. And what he says is, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's not just enough to not commit adultery. Jesus says, don't lust. It's not just enough to not murder. The scribes and Pharisees do that. Jesus says, don't even be angry. It's not enough to just say, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. Jesus says, he goes beyond the scribes and Pharisees, love your enemy. It's not enough, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. He says, do not resist the evil man. Okay, now look what he's talking about. Giving. the scribes and Pharisees gave. And Jesus is saying, you got to exceed the scribes and Pharisees. He's still on this topic. He hasn't really changed his topic. That's the context of what's going on. He's saying, your righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. You got to go beyond them. Yeah.
Can I ask you, can you tell what goes on here with the trumpets and stuff? I can't really quite imagine how that would have worked.
Let me just preach, and then we can talk after if we don't get at that. Okay, so in chapter 5, Jesus is talking primarily about your lifestyle. You know, lust, anger, how do you respond to evil people, keep your word, that kind of stuff. Now, he's talking about religious practices. And so look at verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men in order to be seen by them. That is a summary of what's coming. Now look at verse 2. When you give to the needy, don't do it this way, do it this way. Now go to verse 5. And when you pray, don't do it this way, do it this way. And go to verse 7. And when you pray, don't do it this way, do it this way. And then go to verse 16. And when you fast, don't do it this way, do it this way. And so Jesus is, don't practice your righteousness before men. Giving, praying, fasting. He's going to talk about those three religious practices that the Jews did, that Christians practice, that Muslims practice. You know what? This is three of the five pillars of Islam. Mm-hmm. Giving, praying, mm-hmm. fasting. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Jesus is addressing three of those five pillars of Islam. He's saying you got to do it a certain way. You can't just do it any way you want. He wants giving to be a certain way, praying to be a certain way, fasting to be a certain way, and he's going to talk about that. Now, we're not going to talk about praying and fasting today. That's coming later. We're going to focus on giving today. But the scribes and the Pharisees did all of these things. They gave, they prayed, and they fasted. And Jesus is saying, don't do what they do. Okay, so here's his main point. Jesus is saying, when you give, don't show off. We could close the book and say, okay, we're done. That's really what Jesus is saying. Don't show off when you give. So let's talk about both of those things now. The first of them, when you give. Look at verse 2. He says, thus, when you give. He doesn't say if you give. He says when you give. He is actually expecting that you will give. Look at verse 3. He says it again, right? When you give, don't let your left hand know what your right is doing. Jesus assumes that you are practicing giving. In fact, he's going to say that all throughout when we do giving, praying, fasting. You're going to see that all throughout. In verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before men. He's assuming that you are practicing righteousness. He's just saying when you do it, just beware of that you don't do it before men so everybody can see you and see what a great guy you are. And so giving is a basic, normal practice for a Christian. And here, Jesus isn't really talking about giving to your church, although that is something that you should do. But that's here. The Greek word is kind of translated alms. The English word alms is when you give to the poor. And that's the idea. That's the thing Jesus is focusing on. And so in Christ, we as God's people need to care for the needy. Jesus actually assumes that you are doing that. And in Christ, we as God's people also need to let go of our stuff. You got stuff. I got stuff. But we need to see that the stuff is God's stuff, not our stuff. And God can do whatever he wants with his stuff. See, I just said you have stuff, but really you don't have stuff. God has stuff that he has very graciously let you use, but it's really his stuff that you get to use. And so he wants you to use it for his purposes, because it's his stuff. And the stuff includes money. It includes your house, where you live, your car, your clothes, your whatever you have, your time. Now, here Jesus is talking money here. But all of that stuff really fits under the category giving. Now, giving is not so much a behavior as it is an attitude. I'm not saying you don't give on the outside. I mean, obviously that's how it takes its form, but it needs to start on the inside. See, if you give on the outside, but on the inside, your heart still holds on to the money you just gave away, you really didn't give. You did in one sense, but your heart didn't let go of it. And so you haven't fully given when that happens. It's why Paul says God loves a cheerful giver. He wants the giving to be genuine from the inside. So let's just get this straight right now. God does call you to give. He does. Because he wants you to let go of it's actually for your own health, your own spiritual health. He wants you to let go of your stuff. He doesn't want people who are holding on to this world. That's not what, we're freed from this world. Why would we now hold on to it? But he also wants to bless other people through your gift. See, giving is a blessing on both sides. It's a blessing to the one who gives. It's also a blessing to the one who receives. And in both instances, it is to the glory of God. Whether you are the giver or the receiver, it is for God's glory that giving is to take place. And God wants you to experience that blessing of letting go and helping other people who need. So it's not if you give, it's when you give. Do it this way, what Jesus is saying. So that's the first part of when you give, don't show off. So we talked a little bit about when you give. Let's talk about don't show off. The purpose of giving is for the glory of God. You do not give so that people will say, oh my, what a fine soul Maggie is. Do you see what she gave? That's not the point. That's not why we give. We don't give so people will praise us. You don't give for your glory. You give for God's glory. And so Jesus is saying, when you give, do not seek applause from people. I think of the parable where Jesus talks about the unworthy servant who did everything that his master commanded him to do, and then at the end just said, I'm an unworthy servant. All I did was what I was told to do. Okay, giving needs to be that way. You're an unworthy servant. If God asks you to give to somebody, give to him and give glory to God. There's nothing special. You didn't do anything out of the ordinary. You actually did what's normal for a Christian. And so why would you pump your fist and do all that stuff that the athletes do about the giving that you did when it was really just basic, normal stuff that your master asks you to do? See, Jesus is fighting look-at-me disease, is what he's fighting. And remember I said, look-at-me disease only happens when you do something good. Giving is good. You should give. It's a good thing. It's just that the problem here is when you want people to take notice of you because of your giving. Hey, look at me. I support these children, or I give to this cause, or, as I began thinking of examples of this, I see this all the time in American culture, and I bet in your cultures this exists as well. Let me give you some examples. You ever see all these celebrities come together and they do some concert for Farm Aid and they broadcast it to the world and they say, look, we just raised $5 million for Farm Aid for all these, and everybody praises them? Now, what they did, is it good? Yeah, it is good. Look at me, disease only happens when good stuff happens, right? I wonder if they have already received their reward. That's what Jesus says. When you do that, you will not receive a reward from your Father in heaven. They have their reward. That's what Jesus says. They have their reward. I wonder if those people just got their reward. Or you see famous people, rich people. I don't know. I'm not saying these people do this. I'm using their names because they're famous and rich. But people like Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg or, you know, famous rich people who donate a lot of money to charities for this cause or that cause. And they sometimes announce it publicly. Sometimes they'll call press conferences and announce on the press conference that we're going to donate $1 million to cancer research. Now, is that a good thing? Yes. It really is a good thing. But I wonder if he has just received his reward. Because he's going to get the applause of many people, and God is going to say, you just got paid. You see this with businesses, right? You go into Walmart, and you go to the customer service area of Walmart, and on the wall there is all of what they give to local schools or to this charity or that charity, and it's publicized for everybody to see right there. Now, what they did, was it good? Yes. But I wonder if they have just received their reward. See, they used their giving as marketing. Right? I mean, Jesus says, don't blow your trumpet when you give. You ask about the trumpet. My straight answer to you is I don't know what the trumpet is specifically. Personally, what I think it is I think it's more a saying. Like in English, we say, don't blow your own horn. Don't blow your trumpet. I think he's talking that way. I think it's a figurative thing. But officially, I don't know that's true. And there may have been a practice that was going on in the time, when the synagogues would come and maybe there were trumpets. They had, the Jewish horn, the shofar. Maybe there was something related to this. I haven't found any such thing, but I don't know. So officially, I don't know, but unofficially, that's what I think. Now, I think there's a lot of giving that goes on that, by the way, should go on, but that does get loud trumpets blown about the giving so that we will praise the giver. I think that happens all the time. And when that happens, Jesus says in verse 2, they have received their reward. They wanted praise. They got it. They got what they wanted. They are now rewarded. But our giving, the purpose of our giving is not to market it to the world. That's not what that's not what God calls us to. Now, I want to, I'm going to sort of nuance this some, because I want to bring something else Jesus says into here. I don't think this means we hide everything. Because same Jesus, same sermon, chapter 5, verse 13. Here's what Jesus says. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. Neither does a man light a lamp and set it under a bushel or a basket, but he puts it out on a stand so that it will give light to everyone in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Whoa! Like, what's going on? Jesus just got done saying earlier in chapter 5, let your light shine among men so they'll see your good deeds, like giving is a good deed, and glorify your Father. Let it be shown. Let it shine. Don't hide it under a basket. Now he's saying, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I'm sorry. So what's the deal? You know, which is it? Are we supposed to shine or are we supposed to hide? I think one thing, we need to hear that men need to see our good deeds. Jesus says that. That's important, that they need to hear our good deeds. I don't think, however, that means we are to advertise them. There's a difference between advertising them and hiding them. Here's what I think the difference is. Here's what Jesus says earlier. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good deeds and, then what does he say? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's the key. The point of the good deeds is to glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's the point. When you take that good deed and make the point, glorify Mike, I just stole the glory of God from God. And God is not happy with that. And so I don't think Jesus is saying necessarily hide everything you do, but I do think he is saying the point is God gets the glory, not you. See, he's not fighting doing good deeds to shine here. He's fighting doing good deeds that you may be seen by men and that they may praise you. That's what he's fighting. He's fighting look at me disease is what he's fighting. He's not fighting good deeds that are seen. He wants God to get the glory from what we as his people do. So, when you blow your trumpet, you're not glorifying your Father. You're glorifying yourself when you blow your trumpet. You're saying, look what I did. And when you give, the people you give to, they will know. Does the world have to know? And those people will glorify God. They may come thank you, And you may then have an opportunity to give glory to God because they came to thank you. And you can then say to them, oh, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord did this. It was his car. And so he felt you needed it. And so thank him. And you have an opportunity to refocus them on God instead of on you. Now, look at me disease, Jesus says, will cost you. It's actually a costly disease. And here's why it will cost you. You will get what you want. And that will cost you. Because what you want isn't what's best. You want praise, and you will get it. What you will not get is God's reward. He says, they have received their reward. It's their reward. It's what they wanted. They got what they wanted. What they will not get is a reward from their Father who is in heaven. And our God gives a lot better rewards than this earth does. And so when you settle for earthly rewards, you miss out on heavenly rewards. And that's going to cost you. And it's going to cost you actually pretty big. Because God knows how to give, guys. He really knows how to give. See, God calls us to give because he gave. That's what the cross is about. The cross is God giving. And think what kind of gift that is. God gave eternal life. And then he calls us to give $1,000 to this needy charity, maybe. When you give, I will guarantee you this, God gave more. A lot more. And so he wants us to be like him, because he's a giving God. He wants us to give. But he then wants for us to let God receive the glory. And be okay with it if nobody notices you. That's okay. You don't need that. You've got another reward coming. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. I'm going to stop here. And what I'm going to do is, I want you to take a minute and just kind of think on your own. I want you to ask God to show you a place where perhaps you have blown your own trumpet before men to be seen by others about something good you did. If you want to know where, think of where you did something good, because that's where you're going to blow your own trumpet. It's when you did something good. And I just want you to think, is there a place in my life where I've done that? I did the right thing, and then I just kind of showed it off so that everyone would praise me and not God. I want you to think if there's a place where you may have done that. I'm not going to ask you to share it publicly. But think where that is. So just take a minute right now, do that. And then in another minute, we're going to pray. Okay, let's close. We're just going to pray. for God's glory through our deeds, and not our glory through our deeds. And I'm just going to open it up. You can pray as you wish. I'll close our time.